Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling radio shy, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I'd like to say welcome back to me. The show's been off for 2 weeks while I was on summer break, and throughout the summer, I may not be here every week, but I'll be putting some really highlighted shows on the air if I'm not here. Next week I'll be live with our other co-host once a month, Suzette Viernon. She'll be here. And through the summer we'll have some really special guests. But like I say, if you're not sure, you can always go to my Facebook page under Bonnie Kay, and I announce the shows the day before they're on. I know so many of you wait for these shows, and especially for my co-host for tonight, Dr. Brian Hooper. But before I introduce Dr. Hooper, I just wanted to mention that it won't be long from now that we're having our October Healing Weekend, and women are starting to sign up, and I'm really excited. They're coming from all over, including Canada and maybe even England, but from all over the country, where women will unite, will bond together, tell our stories, laugh together, cry together, learn together. We'll be having guest speakers. And when you walk away, you'll certainly be walking away with a lot more information than you had before you came, and hopefully make friends that will last you forever, as many of us have been friends for so long. And also the important part is it starts the process for healing when you can't get beyond where you are. And that's the goal. You know, some of you feel so alone and so isolated because you don't know any other straight wives. You've never met anyone who's willing to say, yes, my husband is gay. So this way you have an opportunity firsthand to meet these women who are all wonderful women just like you and not feel alone anymore and not feel isolated anymore. So if you are interested in my healing weekend, just write to me at bondk@aol.com and in the subject box put healing weekend and I'll get back to you with the details and the information. So without further pause, I will introduce my co-host for tonight, my wonderful last week of the month co-host that I always look forward to the month ending, Dr. Brian Hooper. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Bonnie. Good to be with you all again. It's always a joy for me, too.
Yes, the women always post on our on my page about how excited they are for you to be here in our group. And, you know, you're so healing, so soothing to so many people. So I appreciate your coming here month in and month out, even though sometimes we don't always understand or agree, but you certainly bring forth that whole understanding that many of us don't understand. And this was a very monumental week in the gay community, wasn't it?
Huge, huge.
Huge. Mm-hmm.
Week, absolutely.
Were you expecting this?
I think I have probably expected about 90%. There was 10% of me that wondered what they were going to do at the very end to maybe do some sort of pseudo-compromise, but I was very pleased with the final outcome. I really was.
Well, in case anybody's been hibernating under a bed for the past week, which is possible, some people had power outages. I know I had one last week in Philadelphia during the storm. We had a horrible storm. I was out of electricity for the night. But some people may not even be aware they didn't have electricity all week till yesterday, but gay marriage was approved. Can you talk a little bit about that? What that means?
Yeah. What it means is that all of the legal rights and privileges that straight couples have enjoyed are now available for same-sex couples who choose to engage in a legal marriage to each other. So, for instance, the privilege of being able to be covered by your spouse's health insurance is now present. The ability to visit your loved one at his or her bedside in the hospital without having to have special documents signed is now available. The same sorts of things and there are really hundreds and hundreds of rights that come with marriage that are legal that folks are just not aware of. And so in the past, gay couples have had to cobble together a whole host of legal documents and then sometimes go to court in order to fight for the things that we consider to be just routine for straight couples who are married. We no longer have to do that. So it's a whole new day. And for children as well of gay couples, they now are afforded the same dignity of having married parents as children of straight parents have. So we think it goes a long, long ways towards greater justice in this country for our whole nation.
Brian, let me ask you this. Does this include every state will now have to be accepting, will do gay marriages? They have to accept them?
It's both. It's both. There are a few states I understand as of yesterday, now that may have changed today, that are waiting for a court order to be signed and come down, but it's now considered constitutional. A right that to be married and to have your marriage accepted in all states.
But the marriage can be done in all states also, right?
That's exactly right, yes.
Well, that is more monumental than people will ever believe. And I know it was a close vote. It was only one vote difference. But the fact is that it passed and it's now going to be a law. So guess what? So now that everybody was so cheering and so happy at this monumental, life-changing kind of act of civil rights, because to have people discriminated against based on sexuality to me is always, you know, horrific, not even worth discussing. It's just insane. But I always say that you can change laws, but it's really hard to change people's hearts and their minds. And, you know, case in point, like with civil rights, you know, there's still a lot of discrimination against minority people, that you may have laws protecting them, but that doesn't mean that you accept them, approve them, or love them. And hopefully in time, it's getting better, I mean, but it's still not where it needs to be, right? So here's what happened. On Sunday, I went into a local deli. I wrote this on my Facebook page because I was so distraught by this. And I'm in line with a man who's older, although I hesitate to say older now because I'm older. So I don't know how much older he was, maybe not too much. And we had such a horrible storm last week where the lights went out and a lot of people still didn't have their electricity back 5 days later. And he was saying, you know, is it supposed to rain again today? I said, no, I don't think so. It's supposed to be nice today and tomorrow. And he said to me, well, you know, this is horrible storms we're having here. There's a terrible drought in California. In the south, they're being flooded over. There's hurricanes throughout the Midwest. I said, yeah, it really does seem like a really bad tirade of weather. And he says, and you know why, right? And I said, not really. Yeah. You know, it's just a weather pattern. He says, no. He says, you don't know why? I said, I didn't even know what he was talking about. I said, no, why? He said, it's because of the gay marriage. And I turned to him and I said, what? I looked at him.
Yeah.
I said, what? What does that have to do with the weather conditions? He said to me, well, doesn't it occur to you that this is against God? And when you go against God, he's going to punish the people? I said, well, what about global warming? Does that count at all? He says, yes, it counts. He says, and guess why we're having global warming? I said, why? He says, because God is punishing people for doing the wrong thing. So at that point, I just walked away. I had nothing left to say because I can't argue with people who are ignorant because you never win a point.
Right.
So why
That's
waste
right.
my breath and get aggravated? So I thought to myself, this proved to me, I don't care what laws you change, the ignorance and the hatred will always be there. And that's a fact. But people have to learn, look, you don't have to love me or like me or even respect me. Just make sure the laws cover me. And that's how I feel about it.
Right, right. Well, it was over 50 years ago that desegregation took place. And yet, we just had this horrific massacre in the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I fully expect, in fact, when I came to the parish where I serve on staff part-time, there was somebody had taped a makeshift sign to the church door that clearly was in some sort of reference to the decision of the Supreme Court. And, you know, it's a shame, but I had to look at one of the ushers because I was on duty on Sunday because our pastor was away, and I said, I'm not expecting trouble. Nobody looks like they're trouble in this place, but be prepared to call 911. You know, if we have trouble. So what I'm saying is I think we'll see a cultural backlash in some sections.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the country.
You know, the far right-wing groups and Christian groups and religious groups, Jewish Orthodox groups, you know, they're all going to be so opposed to this.
Right.
And
right.
once again, I think religion is a major factor in stopping progress when it comes to gay. I think that people are just so smashed in by the ignorance of the church and the synagogue. I mean, not the reforms or the, you know, but with the ultra-religious of any group, the Muslims, no matter who it is. But it just will take, and even, you know, you bring up about civil rights 50 years ago compared to now. I mean, yes, it's true that it's come a long way. You have a black president. You have black governors and mayors. Mayor of my city is black. And yet, it doesn't matter. Black
and
people are
entire,
very much discriminated against.
We have an entire, quote, news program that seeks to look for anything that they can to bash our president. And I'm pretty convinced it's It's based on challenging privilege and the fact that the man is black. There's a prejudice there. So, but anyway, we've come a long ways, but I think we have a long ways to go. But what I do know is that it's the personal relationships with people that changes their hearts. It's not the law, you know. It's the family that realizes that they have a transgender grandson. I'm thinking of a family I know right now that, they're just the grandparents are really struggling because they're from a fundamentalist mindset, and yet they don't want to lose their grandchild, so they're having to rethink things.
I know. I have no answers for that, but I do want to ask you this question. Do you think that gay marriage will prevent straight gay marriages in the future? Or do you feel it has really no correlation?
I think it's going to be a curve, a bell-shaped curve, so to speak. In other words, I think that because this is one step towards greater acceptance of same-sex commitment and love in our society. And so there will be less in the population overall that will be prejudiced against gay and lesbian people. But still, as I said to somebody today before you and I talked, I said, this is not going to put me out of business as a psychotherapist anytime soon. There's still going to be plenty of people who their family, their church, their synagogue, decries same-sex love, and they're going to get married thinking they're doing the right thing, and they're still going to be conflicted. So I think it's going to help that it's recognized, but it's not going to be an instantaneous change. We're still going to see straight men marrying, or gay men marrying straight women.
And I think a good portion of that is because there are certain gay men who really believe they are straight or could be straight under the right circumstances.
Absolutely.
Because even though you have, you know, marriages, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not minimizing this. I never thought I would live to see this day, to be honest with you, that I'm so excited that something so monumental could take place in my lifetime because I never expected that. But even so, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference until gay is really accepted by the rest of the community, outside the gay community.
When it becomes as normal as, you have blue eyes and not green eyes, or you have brown eyes, hazel eyes, until it becomes to that level, it's still going to be an issue.
And so even though it's nice for those people who can come to terms with themselves, it's still going
right.
to be, I mean, the way I see it is that it will never stop being an issue as long as we have all these other issues making people feel inferior or, you know, deviant about being gay to start with. You
right.
know, it's wonderful
exactly.
for gay people to be proud in the gay community, but they're already there. It's for the ones that haven't entered it, you know, who are fighting
right.
it, who don't want to be it, and who don't think
right.
they have to be it, you know, who don't understand it. These are the people that, you know, I just feel these marriages will just keep going on.
And this will become, once again, the whipping boy for, the far right, religiously speaking. And so I don't expect to hear less but more rhetoric against gay marriage now. And more, you know, they're going to redouble their efforts. So we're going to have more kids
exactly.
who are gay hearing
exactly.
this. Yeah. Yeah.
Now that it's a law, they're
going to
fight it in every possible way, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Just like we've seen with, you know, initially with desegregation, there was backlash. So, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that you were working on that I felt was just so important is that, you know, you really talked a lot. You did a paper about gay men and stages of development and self-acceptance. Because
right.
of the fact that
right.
with the lack of self-acceptance, how can you ever be true to who you are? Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep. Yep.
And I know that many of the men that you and I both work with, you know, that I send to you, you know, their
mm-hmm.
biggest fear is having to accept this is what I am. They're confused.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They know they have these feelings. They're married men. You know, they love their wives. not the way a straight man would love their wives, but in, you know, the best that they can as a gay man. You know,
right.
It's not the same kind of love, but in their minds it is. And so
right.
they're thinking their whole world's going to fall apart, you know, if they give in to this. But as you get older and older, you know, once again, you just can't stop this. It's something that is a force that you cannot control. And that's what I tell men. You really weren't sure when you got married. You know, maybe you had some suspicions. I give them the benefit of the doubt because in my heart, I really believe that they really felt they could function as a straight husband because
yeah.
they fell in love with a woman, because they were able to have sex with her. So they were able to, in
mm-hmm.
their head, say, I'm not a gay man. Gay people would not
mm-hmm.
be able to do this, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yep.
So you developed a handout that you give to your clients to help them understand, you know, their experience and explore their thoughts and behaviors so they can make choices that are congruent with self-acceptance and validation. That's what you have down here. And the stages
exactly.
are drawn from The Velvet Rage by Alan Dan.
Right. Right.
That book is supposed to be the best book there is out there on this. My clinical and lived experience as a gay man and from the lived experience of your clients. So
right,
setting the
exactly.
stage, you start off with childhood and adolescence invalidation. So can you talk a little bit about
right,
that?
Right. So kids are seeking two things, you know. They want to avoid shame and they
mm-hmm.
seek validation. Well, if who they are is congruent with what it is that the parents want them to be, that works out rather nicely for them. But when a kid knows that there's something different about them, and that's, by the way, how most of the men that I work with talk about themselves when they were children. They often say, well, I didn't have the words to say, and it wasn't exactly about sex when I was real young, but I knew I was different. And I knew there was something that wasn't acceptable. So they got set up early on to avoid doing anything that would bring shame on them, and they sought validation from their parents. But in doing that, they didn't have the energy to put into getting to know themselves and exploring themselves, which is part of our early childhood development, taking joy in who we are and living that out and having that praised. What they learned quickly was you do what mom and dad and aunt and uncle and grandma and grandpa will praise, okay? And if it's something very simple, like a straight boy and he wants to play baseball and not football, well, that's within the realm of acceptability. You know, that's okay. But when, say, a gay boy says, not so interested in sports, but I really am interested in gymnastics, or I'm really interested in ballet. Well, in some families, if they're, you know, if they're well-educated and all, but that's just fine. But in many places, oh, no, that's seen as something on the feminine end of the gender expression.
Mm-hmm.
So they curb that quickly, and they may go ahead and play the sport that they're told that they should play.
May I ask
so
you a question?
That's part of it. Sure, sure.
You know, I never quite understand this, neither do a lot of our listeners. So since you were kind enough to volunteer this information, maybe you can explain this. You said
yeah.
that when you were young, you always knew you were different. And, you know, I hear that all the time. But I never quite understand what that means. Could you talk a little about that?
There was something that was fascinating about the male body to me, that I knew somehow it got telegraphed to me that I shouldn't be showing interest in that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I knew inside that, I remember going to Disneyland when I was just a little guy sitting in the back seat, and I was allowed to take a friend with me. So I remember inviting Eric to go, and I had sort of fallen in love with Eric, but I knew that I couldn't somehow say that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
that was not right. There was something, so I had to just sort of play a different role. And on the way home, when he fell asleep with his head on my shoulder, I thought that was just the most wonderful experience in the world, but somehow I knew I couldn't talk about it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of thing. It's not even, it's not about sex per se. In other words, it's
right.
not about eroticism, because I wasn't eroticized at tender age.
Did you
but
feel that
I
you had
to
act differently?
I got the cues quickly on about how little boys walk versus little
mm-hmm.
girls,
mm-hmm.
how you hold your hands, motion with your hands, how you cross your legs, knee over ankle over knee, not knee over knee, because that's often seen as a feminine way of sitting, not a masculine way, all of that kind of thing.
Would that have come more naturally to you, though, the feminine way?
Some of the things, yes,
mm-hmm.
But not all of them. Some of the things
mm-hmm.
I'm very comfortable. I like being a male. I'm comfortable
mm-hmm.
in my body. I think that, you know, on the spectrum of 0 to 100, zero being sort of the feminine end, and I'm not saying that's a zero, I'm just saying for men, for the masculine scale, we'll put that as a zero, and 100
mm-hmm.
is sort of what we might call hyper-masculine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was probably about an 80 on that scale. I was over towards the masculine end, but I'm articulate,
mm-hmm.
I've got a great vocabulary, I'm outgoing, to go out of my way to make other people feel comfortable, to inquire about them. And that's often seen as something that's feminine, not masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm just trying to get a better grasp
things.
Of this.
Yeah, but there were...
like you mentioned, the athletics and, you know, not wanting to have to play contact sports, maybe being more interested in a chess game or... you know.
Right. But now there are some, you know, gay boys who grow up and they're a star athlete. And one of the defenses of some gay men is they become the captain of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying there are, but we learn early on what we're supposed to notice, what we're not supposed to notice, what we're supposed to take interest in, what we're not supposed to take interest in. So the guy that's the captain of this football team may get in trouble for, like, noticing too much about fashion or something, because that may be seen in his family or his culture as a feminine thing.
I think it must be very difficult, but I could be wrong, so you can tell me, to each day have to think so hard about the movements you're making.
So what happens?
I just can't even imagine.
So when we're younger, we do think much more about it, and over time, it becomes second nature for us. But what we don't realize is how much work it takes, even though it's now second nature, because we're pushing down and excluding who we really are, and it gets exhausting.
It must, because I can't. I know that some guys just try so hard so that they won't stand out. And I see, now, you may think maybe this didn't happen in your experience, but I see a lot of the gay husbands don't really develop friendships with straight men because they're married, you know, they're also married, and I think they're afraid that they could tell that they're a fake, not real.
I think,
but they're gay. Do you think that's possible?
I think there's some of that. I think there's a sense sometimes for married gay men, there's a loneliness there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they can hang around these other guys, but
mm-hmm.
they can't be authentic, and so it just reinforces for them when they're around them their loneliness.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, when we're raised in a hyper-masculine culture, and the U.S. really is, I mean, you know, our answer to things is bomb the hell out of people, because that's the manly thing to do. And when you're raised in that kind of a culture and you're working in avoiding shame and seeking validation, it's kind of like driving with one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas, seeking the validation, avoiding the shame.
One of the things you mentioned in your next part is hide and deflect, where you're just talking about learning the social cues for straight versus gay behavior. Then what about that internal denial? If I don't act gay, I must not be gay. I think that's so important.
Oh, yeah. I have one client who said he remembers when he was an late childhood, early adolescence, at some point, going outside and sitting someplace and spending an entire hour trying to talk himself into being straight, that I must really be straight because, and at the end of the hour, he decided he was straight. And that's how hard he was working at denying that he was gay. And so he chose, to go ahead and, date women and live with one and ultimately, marry her, and then realize later what he'd done and undo all of that.
And as you mentioned next about the straight marriage, that they justify this as a right choice because one is not really gay if you get married, right?
Right, right. If I go out with women, if I have sex with women, if I marry a woman, if I have a child with a woman, therefore I can't be gay. So usually what happens is the guys call me and they'll say, well, I think I'm bi.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't. They reach middle age, they're married, they've had a child, and they're longing to be with a man. So they call up to say, I think I might be bi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the reason they say that is not because they're really attracted to women. It's that they've been with a woman, they've had sex with a woman, and so in their heads that makes them, the mechanics of it makes them bisexual.
And it doesn't matter that they haven't had sex for 10 years, they still think they're bisexual.
That's right, because they're married to a woman, so I must be bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to hold on to heterosexual privilege and norm.
Mm-hmm.
Which I completely understand. I mean, I get where they're coming from. It's just that they're not listening to what's going on inside themselves. They're not being honest yet. And over time, what happens almost inevitably is they say to me, yeah, I'm not bi, I'm gay. I just took me a while to get there. And then I say, well, that's why you came to see me, was to figure it out. It's fine. Now we need to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And I like to tell them
you.
I want to tell you before I have them call you and they ask me if they're gay, and I know they can't deal with the truth. I say to them, well, let's put it this way. Let's make this your starting point. You're not straight. Now let Dr. Hooper figure it out with you from there. I don't want to totally destroy them. I say, well, let's just say you're not straight and go call Dr. Hooper.
Right. Yeah, there we go. Good. Well, I'm glad. And it's a privilege, and I love the guys I work with. I care about each
mm-hmm.
and every one very much. And I also care very much about the women they're married to, because I don't want to see these women go through their lives either with somebody who's going to cheat on them or
mm-hmm.
somebody who's going to not fulfill them or somebody who's going to sit on the couch next to them constantly heaving heavy sighs because they're as depressed as hell, but they're staying in the marriage because, quote, it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to ask you about
mm-hmm.
something, Bonnie. I want to, on your side, I have a client who has attempted several times to have the talk with his wife about being gay,
mm-hmm.
and has. And, the next day, it's like he didn't say anything, and, she begs him not to leave. What
mm-hmm.
would you say to her if she was to be listening to this program? What would you say to her? She's begging him to stay. He feels
mm-hmm.
miserable about it. He doesn't want to hurt her. And I keep saying, listen, it's going to hurt her more if you're just sitting around being a depressed man.
And this is how I say to these women. I say, as horrible as it is, because when you hear the word "gay," to many mm-hmm. women, what it means is a death sentence, because it's the death of your marriage. I mean, that is
right.
your reality.
Of
and
all
some
that
women.
You hope for.
And one of the interesting factors that women do is they bargain. You know, as any other kind of grieving, that's part of a grieving process. And I know that with me, I was bargaining with my ex-husband because when I first had that suspicion and he admitted to something, not gay, but just something happened. And in my mind, I thought maybe bisexual, because back then we didn't know. We really didn't have any information. And I bargained, and I said to him, I didn't want to break up my marriage. I had a baby and another one on the way, and I was scared, and I loved him. So I said, well, what can I live with? And I think we all go through this. Can I live with you if you're gay? Can I live with the situation? And I said to him, listen, if you could go out once every 6 months and do something, and I never have to find out about it, I can live with that. You know, we make all kinds of bargains, and you give an inch, and of course, as soon as you open the door, they're out the door taking, 10 feet. But my point is that women need time to realize that this is not going to change or get better. It's a mismatch. It's a mistake. It's something that happened under the best of intentions, but it's not going to work out. And, you know, first of all, there are children involved. This is hurting your children. People think staying together for the sake of the marriage is what you have to do for the children. No, that hurts the children. They can read the testimonies. I have them. If anybody's interested in reading them, write to me of how the children feel when they're going through this, living in a fake marriage, and how it distorts their whole perception of what, you know, marriage is. And I tell women, you know, if you have a daughter, would you want that daughter, if she came home to you and said, Mom, I have some exciting news, I fell in love, I'm getting married to a man who's just like Dad, would you tell her, good, I'm so happy, or would you tell her, run the other way? Because if you stay, that's the role model you're giving to your children, that it's okay to live in a marriage that's not traditional marriage. It's a loveless marriage. It's a sexless marriage. And I said, that's not the, you know, image you want to present to your children, because they're never going to have a happy life. And most of these kids are really messed up, to be honest with you, living a lie for their parents. But I would just tell her that take your time to accept it, but you have to accept it. He cannot change. I think there's so much PR out there that these men can change, and I have to
unfortunately
really work on them, and I do, and some of them really hate me. You know, they feel I'm the enemy until they realize that I'm really the one in their corner. But I have a few women who really believe I destroyed their marriage because I worked with their husbands. Or didn't destroy their marriage. You know, their marriage was destroyed.
Right, right.
And I say to some of them, would you feel better never knowing? And they said yes. So, you know, some people I just can't change. You know, some people don't want to see the light or see the right. And I just kind of, you know, do the best I can and then move along. Let them, there's a lot of groups out there that will give them false hope and false promises. And that's the problem.
Right.
They go to these groups.
Yeah. And they'll pay a lot of money for programs and...
But I do tell men there's a different way. There's a right way to come out. That's the other issue. You know, I wrote a book with Doug Dittmer, you know, and Doug did most of the work. I say I wrote with Doug Dittmer. Doug Dittmer wrote the book with me. You know, he did most of the writing. I just have my chapter for the women in there and some other comments. But it's a wonderful book, Over the Cliff, about 17 different stories about men who came out in different ways, and some of them were honest, some of them weren't. You know, but it's a really good thing for women to read more than men, because they'll see what their husbands are really doing behind their back, because the husbands are really honest in this book. But the chapter I wrote in there that was really important is how to come out to your wife. You know, so many of these guys wait until they're already so involved in another relationship and they're so in love with the guy, and they start getting cruel to their families. Because they feel like their wives are the ones holding the key to their happiness and freedom, as if we're the jailers. So, you know, and then I say, you can salvage. When you have children, your first obligation are those children.
I completely
agree. Nothing personal. But am I right?
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah, your life has to be secondary, not primary.
That's,
and you can't do things
right.
that are hurt, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why I say you need, I tell my guys, I say, now, don't expect that she's going to get this overnight, you know. You've got to give it some time, but it's going to take both of you to make the plan on how you go through the divorce and go through it well so you have a common front to the children. Do not put them between you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she needs to speak well of you. You need to speak well of her and assure the kids that you're going to keep their world as together as you possibly can. That's paramount.
The only, I agree with you 100% on that. I guess the only thing that my concerns are this, and I wrote this in the book too,
mm-hmm.
men struggle with this for a lifetime. From the time you're a little boy, mm-hmm. you know that something's different about you. Now, I do agree there's different various levels of that. Some it's very strong, some it's not as strong. But everybody knows something's different. So
right.
it takes a man, you know, 20 years, 30 years, 35, 40 years to come to terms with himself and finally accept
right.
himself for who he is. He cannot
right.
expect that wife to accept it in a week. That's just
I
not how it's going to work.
I
know,
I
you're very
agree.
Strong about that.
Yep. At the same time, they can't just hang out for several years before they get divorced.
Absolutely.
Either. They're going to have to work
right.
on that. So, and that's why she needs support. She needs to be in some sort of therapy with somebody who gets it, understands the situation.
Well, that's why we have our group. Exactly. I
that's
would tell
right.
these men, I will work with
yep.
your wives, send them to me, you know, because you can't do this by yourself. It's too overwhelming. And the more a man comes out of the closet, in many cases, the woman goes further into the closet because she believes, and I totally understand this, I've been there and done it, that society does place the blame on her. People
yep.
are really ignorant. You know, they say, well, you didn't.
Yep,
he wasn't gay
are.
When he married you. He had children with you. He couldn't be gay. He had sex with you. How did he get gay
yep.
now? You must have turned him gay. So
yep.
women really take that responsibility on, and they start believing it themselves. What did I wasn't a good enough wife. And it has nothing to do
right.
with that, right?
Or mothers of gay children who, when they hear that one of the leading indicators of why we are born gay is hormone levels of in the womb, instead of saying, oh, that's an interesting scientific fact, the response is sometimes, oh, so it's my fault.
Well, you
no.
know what I blame it on? I look, there's no blame to be placed. I really, in every
that's
study
right.
I've looked at for
blame.
30-some years, I really believe it's genetically predisposed.
Yeah.
Gay is never isolated
no.
on its own. Always in the family, if it's a cousin or an uncle or an aunt, right?
Well, the indications are there's a genetic component and there's a hormonal component. It's not just one or the other, but we—I mean—it really doesn't matter. The issue is, it's just a variety within nature. It's nobody's fault; it just is.
Right.
And I think that's the point that we can both be very strongly in agreement on.
And what I do tell women also is that, you know, and women do tell me this, though, Brian. They say they can always accept their child if a child is gay. Because when you have a gay husband, you have double the chance of having a gay child. And that's
mm-hmm.
just the way nature puts it. And, you know, I had accepted about my daughter, and at first I was really
mm-hmm.
overwhelmed. I'm not going to say I said, hooray, my daughter's gay. I didn't. I was very
yeah.
upset, and I was very pro-gay.
Yeah.
But, you know, why
yeah.
do you want an
right.
extra added burden for your child?
Yeah.
And it is
right.
in the society. But I was able
society,
to accept her
child.
And love her. You
right.
know,
yeah.
didn't make a difference to me, but I just felt bad in her life. She would have so much more to overcome. But if
yeah.
parents can't accept
yeah.
their children, then that's the big issue. That they have to, and,
yeah.
But most mothers I have, they love their children. They don't care if they're gay. You know, they just
mm-hmm.
love them for who they are. So let me just ask you a few more things. When you had in your paper
sure.
about...
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance and compensate. So here you have that sex may become a process addiction. What does that mean?
Yeah, so when we think of addictions, most of us think of substance addictions like alcohol or drugs. But a
mm-hmm.
process addiction is when we get a high from engaging in some process like gambling or shopping or having sex. And so, one of the stages of development for gay men, when they've accepted the fact that they're gay, but they really have not accepted themselves, they've not yet learned to love themselves, they still think they're not good enough, smart enough, beautiful enough, bright enough, masculine enough, they may engage in sex rather randomly in order to feel connected to someone. And, of course, it's very fleeting because it's sex that's disconnected from relationship. So it perpetuates itself. It actually creates the hunger that it's seeking to ameliorate.
What is the Groucho Marx phenomenon?
Groucho Marx once said, I'd never join a club that would have a person like me as a member.
Mm-hmm.
So in one of the stages before we've gotten into complete acceptance of self and really worked on integration, we may meet somebody and pursue them and then find out that they're interested in us. And as soon as they show interest back, then we sabotage it by finding something wrong with them. And there's something wrong with them, ultimately, is the fact that they've shown interest in us. And when we don't think that we're good enough inside, then there must be something wrong with somebody else that shows interest in us. And then we have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important for gay men to work on developing a relationship with themselves. I would say the same thing to the women who have found themselves married to gay men. The most important love affair that they will ever have is with themselves, knowing themselves, taking care of themselves. Because only when we really accept ourselves are we available to be in a healthy relationship with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, we tell that to the women all the time. If you can't love yourself, you can never truly love someone else. Because then that kind of love is codependent love and needy love. And there are
plenty of
predators out there. I'm not talking about gay. I'm talking about all kinds of men out there. Because sometimes the men who get married, now I find this to be more so with married gay men. A lot of them are very narcissistic, controlling, sometimes borderline personalities, even some sociopaths mixed in there. And I think that comes from living a daily lie. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
When you lie about everything all the time, you're protecting yourself.
Constantly manipulating people's impressions in order to get their approval. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an inauthentic life.
Exactly. And then, once you get like that, a lot of these men who are married, I'm not talking about the gay community, I'm talking about, gay married men, become really abusive to their families because they don't want to be there. Even though they married you and they said, I love you, please marry me, then once you were married to them, they found a million things wrong with you, namely
and
because they're gay, right?
Right, because they got themselves in a relationship they don't want to be in. They resent the hell out of it. And then they project the blame onto the spouse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then they become somewhat abusive. And then another problem is that once they decide to leave, which is usually because they've met someone else, and so they want to go off into a new life because they feel like I've earned it. I've heard gay men, when I'm counseling them, tell me that phrase, I've earned it. And I say, well, what do you mean you've earned it? They say, I stayed here for 18 years. I supported the family. I kept a roof over their head. I attended the events. I went to this and that. I've earned it. I said, earned it? I said, you put yourself in this position. It's not a matter of earning it. Well, I did the responsible thing, and now it's time for me to go. In a lot of ways, they feel like, they've done their time as if it were a jail sentence.
Yeah. Well, my response to that would be, you did what you thought you were supposed to do, and now that you have new information, you need to do the responsible thing with that as well. So, yes, that does entail leaving, but it doesn't it doesn't mean that you burn your bridges and forget about your responsibilities.
Exactly.
That you still have a relationship with your children. You still have obligations to your wife based on, you know, your financial situation, all of that.
And that's what I tell the men. I said, look, you can. I said, it all depends how you leave. If you want your children to keep loving you, if you want to have a
mm-hmm.
family, then you have to do the right thing. And the right thing means that you have to be responsible to the children financially and emotionally and to your ex-wife. That you can't make her the enemy and battle with her for control. Now you're going to live your new life. You're going to be happy living it. Don't make it a game for her. You know, you have to be fair.
Right, right.
If they
right,
want to have
right,
a relationship,
right.
they have to do the right thing too.
Right.
And I do
yep.
understand a lot of them are now like going wild. Like, you know, they have the girls gone wild, Snoop Doggy Dog. These are like the men gone wild. You know, now they have their newfound freedom. They're reliving their adolescence that they feel they missed out on. They're back in their early 20s, sowing their oats all over the place. But, you know, they kind of temporarily disappear. And some of them come back. Some of them never do. But I always say you got to work on the family aspect. Those are your children, the people who depend on you. Do you want them to love
That's
you
right.
or do you want them not to love you? It's your choice, right?
Yep, that's right. It's your primary obligation.
So what other key points do you feel from this paper that are important? I don't mean to bring up the points that I like. Bring up the ones that you think are important.
Okay. Well, so we move from setting the stage in childhood where it's avoidance of shame and seeking validation to
mm-hmm.
the next stage, which is they realize in a adolescent time and then beyond that they are gay, but they're denying it. So they're not really accepting it. And I call that the hide and deflect stage. And that's where we get really well practiced at deceiving ourselves and trying to throw other people off detecting us. And then the stage after that is acceptance and compensate. In other words, okay, well, my orientation is gay, but I still don't have a relationship with myself yet. And that is often a stage where there's lots of drama in the lives of gay men. And they often will engage in what Dr. Downs brilliantly refers to as foreclosure, which is trying to find a quick fix. So that might mean, you know, they move to Vermont and open up a B&B thinking that that whole new venture is going to cure all their issues from the past. Well, all they'll do is, you know, be taking their issues from the past with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final stage is the acceptance of self. And that's where usually it's precipitated by this crisis of meaning. What's the meaning of my life? What do I really want? One of my guys said to me, who had come out to his wife, been honest with her, and went through the divorce and then was just hooking up all over the place, you know, with these apps that, you know, many men have on their phones. And he said, you know what? I'm tired of that. That's not fulfilling. That's not even really me. I want somebody to come home to, you know. So he really had to wrestle with what life is about and what the greater meanings are. And the theme here is accept who I am, discover things about myself. One of the things I will have my men do is bring me a picture of themselves when they were just a little boy. And, and I'll say, tell me about this kid. Tell me about him. And they begin to get in touch with really the child that had been put off in the corner, off in the closet. And it brings up other things in their lives today. Well, then how do we take care of that child that lives inside today, you know? So, and I get them to practice mindfulness. In other words, noticing their thoughts. instead of being reactionary, to be more contemplative. Notice what brings them real joy. Maybe they'd always wanted to paint. Well, get them painting. So that they have something else that broadens and deepens their relationship with themselves. It's not about desperately trying to find the next man to date.
I think that's really important that they is it interesting when they reflect back to when their childhood is and what they were doing to avoid this?
Absolutely, and the hurt that's there. And then you mix in the fact that, you know, I mean, very few people were raised in like a really healthy marriage and there was a happy family with the white picket fence. Most people, there's alcohol playing in the background, there's divorce, there's, you know, all sorts of things going on that contribute to complicating things. So we're not just dealing with being gay, we're dealing with how that got processed in terms of their own often challenging experiences growing up.
Do you think it takes some men a long time to come to terms with this?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking one gentleman who, he was in his late 60s, early 70s, came to me. His wife had died. And, you know, he was feeling very conflicted because he was afraid that, and I'm not going to share, I never share any identifying information, so I won't say the industry again, but he was afraid that his business partner would find out, you know, and then his business partner is homophobic. And so he actually foreclosed on the possibility of coming out and just slammed the closet door shut and said, no, it's not worth it to me. Well, and I haven't heard from him since. I suspect, you know, he continued to, you know, reach out to others in the community, but probably not in the healthiest way.
Well, maybe you could go to Joe Court, who could convince him that he's straight.
Well, you're the expert on him. I'm not, but.
Well, he can go to Joe Court and learn that he's really straight, guys. I mean, you know, just because you think you're gay doesn't mean you are. He's an amazing kind of man. But anyway, Brian, we've come to the end of our show. But go ahead. We have a couple more minutes.
Are we there already?
Yeah.
So I had a... Maybe that is enough for now. We'll just go.
No, go ahead. You can say we have a few more minutes. Okay. We have a few more minutes if you'd like to add it.
There is this phenomenon of folks who have an obsessive compulsive disorder. And they will think of what's the thing that would be most shaming to me if I'm a straight man. And all, well, maybe the most shaming thing to me would be that I would be gay. And they get it in their head that maybe they're gay. Although they have no attraction to men. They don't have erections around men. They don't dream about men. But they begin to do a number on themselves thinking that maybe they might be gay. And I've had a couple of cases.
How about if they've acted on it?
Then if they've acted on it, then I have to say... we have to really take a look at that, and that's usually an indication that they are probably gay.
Right.
But
you have to get the whole story sometimes. You know, people give you the whole story.
Right. But I'm thinking of one young man who went through a physical accident as a child, and it affected his genitalia. He never told his folks. He grew up with this. And it was just an accident out, you know, playing, a physical accident that happened to him. But he was so ashamed about that. And because it affected him, he had this fear, but he had absolutely no attraction to men and had never acted on it. But it's how he had sort of internalized this. So that's very rare that happens, but every once in a while it does, yeah.
Yeah, there's always exceptions to every rule or variations of every exception, but overall, like you say, if you didn't sign up for it, you don't have to live with it, right?
That's right. That's right. Yep.
No matter what it is. If you're not happy,
no,
and it's
what
not
it
what
is.
You signed up for, then you don't have to feel about walking the other way. And
that's
we always
right.
talk about your wise words within our own group of, you know, what you say, Ryan. It really does encourage a lot of women.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. Yep.
So I want to thank you so much
for
being with me. You know, like I say,
hey,
your comfort every month really helps so many people. And, you know, we'll look forward to having you back here at the end of July. And I can't believe it's already July this week. You have any special July 4th plans?
I'm going to go marry a straight couple this weekend.
You're marrying them yourself?
I am. I'm presiding for their marriage.
Oh, you're doing...
Yep.
Okay, I thought you were going to marry them. I said, oh, my God, I've made no progress with you at all.
No.
Here I was thinking you were really going to be just a gay man for the rest of your life, and you're marrying a straight person. Okay. No, but that...
That's I'm serving
great.
As the presider for their marriage, and I'm delighted.
Make sure you take a lot
them.
Of pictures. Yeah,
okay,
sure,
my dear.
All right, well, Brian, thank you so much. I just want to give a shout-out to some of our fans that listen to you so much. They love you. I want to say hi to Kelly and also to Deborah. And, you know, thanks to all the women who support this show. That several thousand every month are listening. So I know it's an important show to you, too. And we'll be back here next week with Suzette Vernon. And we'll be talking to Dr. Hooper again in a few weeks. So with that, I'm going to go out with a song. And good night, everybody. Brian, I love you.
Love you too, Bonnie. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay. Don't forget the Healing Weekend. If you're interested, write to me at bonk@aol.com. And let's say goodbye with our Beatles song, Blackbird.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of a dark black night. For this moment to arise.